Blog Talk Radio.
When I was a little girl,
unto you the divine word of truth as I know it to be. I hope and I pray that all has been well in your family circle. Hallelujah. Hope and pray that you've had a beautiful day on today, wherever you are listening to this podcast. Maybe you might be in your at your workplace, you might be in your living room area, maybe in your prayer room. You might be at a friend. You may be driving down the highway. But wherever you might be, wherever this program finds you, I hope and pray that you have experienced a beautiful and joyful day on today. And so it's not Friday yet. It's still Thursday, so I can still say today. And so may God richly bless you and keep you. Hallelujah is my petition. I'd like to take the podium, and I would just like to express prayer for those of you that has lost a loved one. May it be a friend, a dear friend. It could be a business colleague. Hallelujah, a family member, a health provider, your doctor, your nurse, someone that is near and dear unto your heart and soul. I want you to know on this evening that you are not alone. You might say, Overseer Ward, I am alone. I'm sitting alone. I'm crying alone in my own space. I'm driving down the highway and tears are just flowing down my face. But I want you to know, sweetheart, that you might be bodily alone. But I want you to know on a spiritual note that you are not alone. You see, God has men and women, young and in betwixt, hallelujah, boys and girls that are praying, that are living holy, and that take their job seriously. This is the job that God has ordained them to perform on a day-to-day basis. As I am bringing unto you the divine word of truth, this assignment is from God. God is my boss man, and he gives me all of my medicine. That is the scriptures, hallelujah, the prayers. God give them to me in my room. And your room can be anywhere. It don't have to be a wall setting. It can be in your car. It can be outside, under a tree, on the curb, under the bridge, in the laundromat, in the bank, you know. Wherever you want, hallelujah, your secret place to be, you designate your place, hallelujah, where you can hear the voice of God speaking into your heart, because we know that God is a spirit, and God said those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so, I just want you to know that you are not alone in your hour of despair, of your hour of weeping and wailing. We weep with you on tonight. God say that we are helpers one to another. We are to pray for one another and then, you know, take the burdens of our fellow pilgrims. So we are to cry when you're crying. And when you're happy, we are to rejoice. God said, carry each other's burdens. And so that's what we are to do. So I just want you to look up on tonight. I want you to remain encouraged, to know that weeping might endure for a night, but we know that joy cometh in the morning. So we know that it's going to be all glory after a while. Hallelujah. God is going to comfort you in your hour of loss. You know, God is so awesome. I tell you, I was just saying today to God that he was just so awesome, so mindful. I mean, it's just not enough words to describe God. But, you know, he's just so gracious to you and I and us. You know, you can be looking for something as simple as a safety pin or eraser or tack or nail, your wig. You know, I was looking for my little stocking cap, and I didn't know where it was, and I was just going to put, you know, do without it, in other words. And because I couldn't find it and time was running out on me, I had a doctor's appointment on today. And so I was really racing for time. And I was just going to go on without it. And then God just took my eyes and just say, like, look down, you know. And I looked down, bam, and there it was. I said, I just couldn't do nothing but just thank God right there on the spot. I said, God, you know, you are so mindful of us. You are so sweet. You are so kind. So God can be that comforter that you and I need in this hour. You can cry on God's shoulder. You can talk to him. He's not going to ever get tired of listening to you talk to him. God, matter of fact, God get comfort. And you know, it makes God happy. It pleases God when you and I and us, when we talk to God. Because God is a jealous God. And he don't want us to get too hooked on anybody, you know. He don't want us to get too hooked on a newborn baby, you know, maybe a niece, grandbaby, you know, a God baby. You know, a great niece, a great nephew, you know, your husband, your wife, your uncle, Uncle June, you know, Uncle Timothy, you know, Aunt Susie. God don't want us to get hooked on nobody but him. If we're going to get hooked on anybody, God wants us to get hooked on him. So I just want to encourage you on tonight, and just we're going to keep you before the throne of God. And may God bless you as I pray. All right, so now we're going to move on into our opening prayer. Each time that we approach this podium, we fail not to give God all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise for making this platform available for you and I and us, that we can congregate from our own comfort and our own space, wherever that might be. God made it possible, and so we always want to acknowledge him each time that we come on live radio, and that's what we are on. We're on live digital radio. And your program, once again, is the Old Ship of Zion. The producer of this program is Block Talk Radio. Your host and moderator is Overseer Janice Ward. And so I want to welcome all of my guests, my first-time listeners, my business colleagues, Kingdom Congressional Assembly, Kinship Family, and all of you. We just want to roll out the red carpet and just worship you. Welcome you is what I was trying to say. I think I just got so much running through my head, you know, trying to get it all out. But anyway, we just thank God for you, you, and you. And we have the chat room is up and it's available for your sitting and your listening pleasure. And so right now, without any further ado, I'm going to ask you to bow your beautiful heads as we go down in prayer at this time. Father God, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for enabling us together, God, in unity once again, God, around the spectrum. Father God, you said in your word that you was going away and that you was going to prepare a place for us. So when you would return to receive us unto yourself, you was going away to prepare us a place in which to live eternally with you, those of us that are living according to your will and according to your way, according to your bylaws and your precepts, God. But I tell you this one thing, God, we will continue to move upward and onward in your will and in your way, God, as you would have us to go. God, we will be mounting up from the four corners of this earth, starting from the north, south, east, and west, as pilgrims through this barren land. I'm asking you, God, to anoint these lips of clay. Able me, God, to bring a rhema word, God, to those that may, then again, may not know of you in the pardons of their iniquity. Grace me, God, your servant, with words of encouragement and words of wisdom to each and every one that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their very heart and soul. Father God, we won't take your praise and we won't take your glory, but we'll give unto thee all the glory and honor, hallelujah, that is due unto you, Father God. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. And let the temple of God and his people say, amen and amen. All right. So there you have it. So right now, we're going to, without any further ado, we're going to take you right now on into a live praise. And this is a digital. So this is a digital, live digital praise and worship church experience. Hallelujah. And this is the Old Ship of Zion. Your host and moderator, once again, is Overseer Janice Ford. And so we're going to go right now on into the service. And I want you just to omit the title that I have. I have a hypocritical request, revised too, but I'm going to change that when I'm off air. I'm going to change that to counterfeit reality. So it's not going to be what you see now, but it's going to be counterfeit reality. And so we're going to read our first key scripture. And it's coming out of the law of 2 Timothy 3:13, and it reads like this. It says that evil men, hallelujah, and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And that scripture reading, my sister and my brother, is coming out of the law, 2 Timothy 3:13. And we are told that the Apostle Paul had warned Timothy about the counterfeit reality in the church. He said that in the last days, people would be self-absorbed, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And you know, we're living in that society right now, that same society, hallelujah, that Paul had warned Timothy about. You can go into churches now, and I mean, they got their own new thing going on, you know. I mean, it's not about God anymore. It's just about show. It's about show and tell, and, you know, and they're using God's name in vain. And I'll tell you, you know, it's, they're just blaspheming God. It was one particular person, I don't know who it was, but they're calling themselves God, you know. That's what they got going, and they said that they are God, and they tends to, you know, send out messages, you know, as they were speaking on God's behalf. But this stuff that they're saying is no way out of the mouth of God. God wouldn't even be talking that way. But people just done got so loose with God until they just think he's just something to play with, you know. They don't, you know, just, you know, they tend to acknowledge him in all of his omnipotent power. Jesus is a power. He is a spirit. And he is a power surge. But I'll tell you, people is just taking God's name lightly, and they're just doing whatever they feel necessary to do. They don't ask God anything. They're just going their own way. You know, and they said something, I think, on Twitter, this person that was, you know, putting this thread out saying that they were God, and was saying when you saw only, I think, two set of footprints or something, that's when I had to carry your you-know-what. You know, just a disgrace. Just a disgrace. And I don't want to be following anything that's negative and talking to God about God in that light. I don't want to be a part of nothing like that. But you know, the world, you know, it's just like everything goes now. It don't matter, you know, if you call God out of his name, nobody, you know, says anything. They just do what they well pleased to do. But I tell you, there is a day of reckoning. You will have a day of reckoning by God himself. You're going to stand before God. Those lies and stuff that you're telling on God, and you're using blaspheming God's name, you're going to be judged. I want to tell you, but that is not my sermon. But I just had to, you know, bring that in and to light because, like I said, you know, and we're talking about this evil men that we just read about. The Bible says that evil men and imposters will grow worse, and that's exactly what they're doing right here in our 21st century, in 2018. They're cussing. They're cussing now and talking about their God, and they're cussing, using profanity. How in the world could you be that loose with a man? God is a man, but he's a power, like I said. He can kill you. You are breathing his oxygen right now. God can cut your lights out. God can kill you, or he'll have you to kill yourself. He'll have you to ride in front of a car, train, motorcycle, bus, 18-wheeler. He do not care. The devil do not care about you. But it behooves you to respect God and respect his name. I mean, you should be trembling, hallelujah, with fear. See, a lot of people, they don't have the fear of God, so they feel like they can say whatever they please. But I beg to differ. You better mind how you put your mouth on God. I'm telling you, you better mind how you put your mouth on him. But the Bible says that evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And that's exactly what they're doing. And this person that's calling themselves, you know, posting on behalf of God, they're using profanity, using God's name in vain, and people flock to this kind of mess. Instead of, you know, praying for this individual that God will touch his heart and not let the devil kill him and he lose his soul. But people are flocking to mess like that. That's just the kind of mess that they would like to hear. But I got myself far from that. And I didn't want that around me, and I didn't want to be around it. But anyway, getting back to what we're talking about. We're talking about counterfeit reality, where people are growing worse and worse. They're imposters pretending to be ministers, pretending to be prophets, pretending to be deacons, pretending to be apostles and bishops, and the list go on and on. But they are deceiving themselves and being deceived. And so, like I said, that is what Apostle Paul warned Timothy about, was the counterfeit reality in the churches. And that's exactly what's going on now. They got a nudist church. They got a beer-drinking church. You know, and I think just, you know, they got a church probably do the boogie-woogie, you know, just get on down to the Jane Brown, you know, to all of them, you know, this in that blues sector, you know. You can come to church and just get down like you want to, pop your fingers and shake your booty and honey, just get down. And you're calling yourself saved. You're calling yourself a saint, a man and woman of God. You are being deceived, and you are deceiving others that's following after you. Because the Bible says that when you come from the world, he says, be ye separated, says the Lord. You're going to be changed. You're not going to be the same individual you was in the world. When you come out the world and God deliver you from all your sins and set you free, God don't have set you free. The Bible says those that are free, you are free indeed. God don't do no half freeing job. God does all things well. He don't have deliver you from dope, from cocaine, from amphetamines, from sniffing glue, paint thinner, whatever. God deliver you all the way. God take those desires away from you. You got a sex demon, lusting demon, raping demon, porn demon, whatever kind of demon that you have, or if you have had it, and if you're still struggling with that, ask God to take that away, and God will take that away from you. I mean, right now. It's not you're going to wait, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, but God is an instamatic God. He's a right now God. He's worse than Johnny on the spot or Johnny come quick, because God is Johnny on the spot. That's who he is. God is, a God. When you call him, he'll come. Yes, he will. People say he may not come when you call him, but he's right on time. Well, I beg to differ from that. That's just an old, saying that people used to say, but we got to come on with this new generation lingo. So I want to tell you that not only God will come when you say you may not come when you're calling, but he's right on time. Well, I want to tell you that God will come when you call him. See, he'll come when you call him. When you call him, spiritually call him, God don't put you on three-way. He don't put you on hold. He don't tell you, call back tomorrow, son. Call back tomorrow, daughter, because I'm talking to my other son on the line. But God will talk to me, you, and the whole universe at the same time. That is the reason that he is God, because he can do what no other Holy Ghost power can do. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name. And so, like I said, Paul charged Timothy to continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of. And you and I that know God and know God's standard know that true godliness, do you hear what I say? I'm going to repeat that. True godliness, honor and obey God, while its counterfeits seek to seek pleasure and personal gain. And see, that's what it is. The people that's taking God's name in vain is a type of individual that's seeking pleasure and personal gain. One pleases the Lord, and the other gratifies natural desires. Both are identified by their actions. When people hear us say we are Christians, they may wonder if our faith is really real. But I want to set the record straight. If we're really real in our life, in our sanctification lifestyle with God, our lives will answer the question by reflecting the reality of Christ. So we know that a good tree cannot bear bad fruits. Nor can a bad tree bear good fruits. See, good gonna produce good. And that's it. A tree is gonna be known by the fruit it bears. And a saint will be known by the fruit he or she beareth. In the appearance, in their talk, in their walk with God, you will know, because God said you will know them by the fruit that they bear. But I tell you what, we're living in a generation that, like I said, they just doing whatever they feel big enough and bad enough to do. And the Bible says that a wicked and adulterous generation seeks after signs. And no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And that scripture reading is coming out of the law of Matthew 6 3:16-4. And so there was a group of religious leaders. They asked Jesus to give them a sign from heaven. And that scripture reading, my sister and my brother, once again, is coming out of the law, coming out of the gospel of Matthew 16:1. And they had witnessed many of Jesus' miracles, but they had either minimized them or attributed to them to Satan. We find out that the Pharisees were now demanding that Jesus perform another miracle, perhaps like Joshua, who commanded the sun and the moon to stand still. And that scripture reading is out of the law of Joshua 10:12-14. Or maybe they was looking like Elijah, who called down fire from heaven in the law of 1 Kings 18:30-40. They did this to test Jesus. But see, God saw that they was hypocrites and hypocritical of God. And Jesus said that while they could make weather predictions by looking at the sky, they were unable to read the much clearer signs of the time revealed in his ministry of teaching and healing. Some people have told me that they would believe in Jesus if he showed them miracles like those in the gospel. But what makes them think that they would react any different than the religious leader in Jesus' day? Anyone who sincerely seeks the truth has all the evidence necessary for his or her faith. The resurrection of Jesus is a historical, credible event. The power of the risen Christ can be seen in many of his followers. Then we can look into the New Testament that it speaks to the mind and the heart of every sincere seeking soul. To ask for more, Jesus said, is a hypocritical request. So demanding a miracle to believe in Jesus, you won't believe. You say, well, I'm not going to believe until I see. Show me a sign. But see, Jesus said that there will be no sign. If you haven't believed in God and all the acts that he has shown and performed, the turning the water into wine, hallelujah, and then feeding the 5,000 hungry souls, then he raised Lazarus from the dead. So, you know, if that's not proof in the pudding, then there's nothing else to show. There's nothing else to show. You either believe or you don't believe. You know, it's your call. You either believe or you don't believe. As simple as that. Because God is who he say he is. He performed the miracles that he said he performed. And they are a historical event, and it is trusted. It is trusted. It has been written, hallelujah, in the religious history of Christ. And so the Bible says that this man, after he had offered one sacrifice of sin, forever sat down at the right-hand side of God. And they're talking about Jesus in the Gospel of Hebrews 10:12. So now I want to ask you, those of you that are listening out in my digital radio podcast on tonight, I want to ask you, what do you think of when you hear the word sacrifice? What goes through your mind when you hear that? We, you know, we could use the term when we see a parent who follows a strict budget or drive an old car so they can send their children to college. It certainly is a good word to describe the selfish actions of a soldier who threw himself on a live grenade to take the full brunt of the explosion to save the lives of his companion. We know that such noble sacrifices, however, pale when compared to what our Savior did for you and I and us on that cross. His sacrifice, hallelujah, was unique. We know that Jesus suffered and he died for yours and mine and our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. You can go into the gospel of 1 John 2:2 The Bible says, because of his death and resurrection, all who accept his offer of salvation receive complete forgiveness and eternal life. And so John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We can go into the law of Hebrews 10. It says that the Bible speaks about the animals that they offered in the Old Testament, compared them to the death of Jesus in verse 4. It states that it is not possible. It is not possible. Hear me. It is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. We know that bulls and goats could not take away yours and mine and our sins. Those sacrifices pointed to the need for Christ's death. Christ had to go and die and pay the full penalty for yours and mine and our sin. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless his holy name. The substitutionary sacrifices of Jesus Christ provides full salvation to all who has placed their trust in him. Hallelujah, Jesus. What a Savior. We know that you don't have to seek for a sign to know that Jesus is who he says he is. All you got to do is lie down and then be able to wake up in the morning. You miss the newspaper obituary column. You're still alive. You're still in your rightful mind, not out of your mind. But you're still in your rightful mind, state of mind, sane mind. You're going to and fro about your business, about your itinerary. Hallelujah. That ought to be signs enough to know that there is a God and he's real, as our eyes and our noses is centered in the middle of our head or in the middle of our skull. I tell you, God is real. Oh yes, he's real. And he's living in my soul. Hallelujah. But like I said, you know, you got these you got people that, you know, just don't believe that God is who he say he is, and he's performed the miracles that the Bible speaks about. But God is definitely real. He is definitely real. And I know you've come through some hard times, some struggles, some, you know, God has put you through trials and tribulations, and you didn't even know how you was going to come out. You know, you lost your mother, you lost your father, you lost your spouse, you lost your son or daughter, niece or nephew, or grandson or granddaughter. You lost a business colleague. You lost a very dear friend, like a family member to you. And you didn't know how you was going to make it through your dark hour of despair. But God walk with you every step of your journey. God give you courage to rise above the occasion. God gave you the power to persevere. And that ought to let you know right there that if it had not been for God on our side, honey, where would we be today? God had to look down, hallelujah, and saw that we had a need, and he was the only one that could feel that need. And that need filling, was that need of sin. We need sin paid. We needed the paid sin. We needed paid, and we couldn't pay for it because we wasn't sinless. We were sinful. God was the only man that was sinless. He was sinless. But we were sinners. The Bible says we were sinners. We was born in sin. That's why we were sinners, because we were born in sin. And we were shaped in iniquity. And this is not what Overseer Ward is saying, but this is coming right directly from the mouth of God. See? But people, you know, they just hypocritical of God, you know. They think that, you know, the miracle stuff is a counterfeit, you know, all that's just, you know, a witch hunt, or, you know, that's maybe some kind of, some kind of performance of something that God is putting on. But God is not putting on. He don't have to put on anything, because he run this whole show. He run the earth, and he run everything over the earth and beneath the earth. God run you and I and us. He runs us. He tell us what to do. But now we can take on a mindset where we be disobedient. And when we be disobedient, then we go to listen to the satanic voice versus God's voice. We go to listen to Satan. And we know that everything Satan bring us is detrimental. See, the devil don't care anything about you. He don't care nothing about you. He want to see you die and lose your life without God, because he knows that's what he has already done. He's loomed and doomed, and he wants you to be loomed and doomed right along with him. But you have a mind to choose who you want to serve. God said, choose ye this day who you're going to serve. You can't serve both Satan and God at the same time, because the Bible says that darkness and light cannot and shall not walk hand in hand. God will not be walking hand in hand with Lucifer. See, that ain't nothing but a hoax right there. But God, hallelujah, is a holy God. And God thought enough of you and I and us that we were to die for. And God went willingly. Didn't nobody make God do anything. Can't nobody make God do anything in the first place. He tell us what to do. We submit to him. He don't submit to us, but we submit to him. We bow down to him. God is so big and so wide. God is so big and so wide until he could put this whole world in the palm of his hand. We be looking like micro dots in the hand of God, because God is so big. Yeah, I mean, you can't even size him up. He's just that big. He's bigger than anything you ever saw in your life. You never witnessed nothing big as God. But God brought you out. Some of you was about to lose your house. Some of you went in foreclosure. Some of you was going to have your car repossessed. But you didn't believe in God. But then somehow you, oh, Lord, ooh, help me. You know, I hope I don't lose my car. You know, I hope they don't repossess my car. I hope they don't foreclose on my house. I hope, you know, somebody can help me. And then God sent rescue. He sent rescue folks that could tell you how you could save your house and stay in it. But yet you don't feel like there's a God. But, honey, you better get your Bible and read it. And I want you to ask God to open up your eyes, open up your mind, that you can have a full understanding of God, who he is. Hallelujah. Because God is worth knowing. God is somebody to know. I tell you, and if you don't know God, now would be just an ideal time to make your introduction. Hallelujah. God is an awesome God. He love you. He love you, I tell you. You know, God is so awesome because, you know, even in your lonely hour of sadness, despair, maybe you are brokenness, you got a spirit of brokenness. You know, maybe your fiance, maybe y'all was engaged, and now you're broken up. You're broken off your engagement. See, God can put that back together if you want it back together. God can make your sadness into gladness. God can be your comforter. God can be your mother. He can be your father. He can be a sibling. He can be a sister, brother, cousin. He can be a mother, father. God can be anything and everything that you and I need him to be. All you got to do is trust him. Even when you can't trace him, we trust him. Because if it had not been for God on our side, where would you and I be? I want to know. Anybody got any answers? Where would you and I be if it was not for God to reach out his great, big, mighty hand of power and say, she's not going to lose her home. You're going to stay in your home, daughter. You're not going to get your car repossessed, son. Hallelujah. That lawsuit that they sued you for damages, God is not going to let that go through. So you don't have to worry. But see, the devil is taking people out by the handful. There was a purse designer. I mean, this woman had stores all over the world. More money than she could count. She'd been in a marriage 20-some-odd years. And I just read a little bit of it. It was saying that her husband was filing for a divorce, seeking a divorce, asking her for a divorce. I don't know if he did any, you know, the divorce proceeding, but it was said that, you know, he was said he wanted out of the marriage and said she was so depressed. And some, I think her relatives said that they knew that she'd been depressed for a long time and, you know, tried to encourage her to seek, you know, counseling, but she declined. And so she was found in a New York apartment hung. So she hung herself. And so, see, that's what I'm talking about. See, the devil don't care anything about you and I. That could have been you and I. That could have been a family member of ours. That, you know what I'm saying? That could have been a friend of ours. And who, and you know, what's so hypocritical of this event is because the devil led her all the way to her death. And she probably, I know, ain't no probably to it. Ain't no problem to it. I got to know this. Because God said it's not one individual is going to leave this earth without being ministered of Jesus Christ. Somebody ministered to that woman. May it be in a tract, a magazine, a Bible, a radio program, or something, a seminar, revival, you know, whatever it was, somebody ministered to her. But see, people don't want God. You know, they just want money, wealth, and prestige. That's all they want. They don't want God. They feel like, hey, you know, I don't need God. Honey, I got all my money I ever need and ever spend, you know, and I got my boo with me and everything's going fine. I'm living on top of the world. I'm on cloud nine. And they don't need God. They put God under the bus, throw him under the bus. But one day you're going to need God. You're going to be knocking down doors trying to find God. And God ain't going to be nowhere to be found. That's why the Bible says, seek God while he might be found, where he may be found, rather. But that's coming a time when the Bible says you're going to look for God and he ain't going to be found. You ain't going to be able to find him. See? So it behooves you to get to know God. Get to know him. And let him reign inside of your heart. Let him take up residence inside of your heart with his Holy Spirit. And give you a new meaning. You won't allow the demonic spirit to take you out, take your life. And if that woman didn't know God, you know, Lord have mercy on her soul. I tell you, you know, unless God intervene, I don't know, now at the judgment seat of God, the Bible says you're going to give account the deed that you've done in this old body. The devil talked to her to end in her life over a divorce. Now, with this kind of money this woman got, honey, she could buy her a husband, a new husband. You're going to cry over some man that don't want you. See, you can't be that vulnerable, that loose, you know, that gullible. You just going to, you know, well, I don't, you know, is this my man leave me, my husband leave me, my girl, I'm just going to kill myself. But see, that's just the trick of the devil. The devil wants you where he's going. See, that's what he wants. He wants as many to get on his jet line to hell if he possibly can. I'm telling you, he wants you to board his 747 jet line to hell. Hallelujah. Yes, that's what he wants you to do. Because he knows that's where he's going. He already know his destination. Uh-huh. He already know that. And he want to get as many going on his jet line as he possibly can. He tell them all it will. Let them come. Come on. The devil is calling you. Come on. Come on. Let's go to hell. You know, put that gun upside your head and shoot your brains out. You know, run out there in front of that, you know, that train. The train that's going 80, 90 miles an hour, walk out there in front of that train. It ain't going to hit you. That's what the devil tell you. You walk out there and bam, and there you, you know, body parts slaughtered all over the place. But see, if you get to know God, God will give you the strength that if your husband leave you, if your wife say, I want out, you say, okay. You know, if you've done did everything you know to do to try to keep the marriage together, but yet the husband don't want to stay or the wife still don't want to stay, let them go. You know, you ain't got to take your life, take yourself out because that person don't want you. Can't make nobody want you. So apparently something went wrong in the marriage for the man to want out after 20-some-odd years. Something went sour. See? But you can have all the money in China. But if you don't have peace and contentment in a mind, I'm talking about a mind of God that gives you a mind and a spirit that surpasses all understanding. See, if you know God, and that man told you, honey, I want out, I want a divorce, you know, I don't want to be married anymore, you know, then God, you got God living inside of you, God will give you the power. You can't do it on your own, but God will give you the power to walk through that divorce with flying colors. Then God will mate you up with a real man that loves God, loves his family, loves his wife, you know. And you know, because the Bible says that a man that prays together, stay together. But if you have nobody that's praying, you know, in your marriage and everybody's just going to these lavish parties and, you know, they're just going on these cruises and just going wherever their money take them, you know. But yet, they are hurting. Now, you know, you would think a person got all that money, you know, what else do you need? You know, because you need God. But I'm just saying, you know, what? I mean, you're going to let one man send you on Lucifer jetline hell. See, and that's she done lost her life. She done lost her life. But she have been, somebody had witnessed to this woman. Somebody witnessed God to her, but she declined. She didn't want to have anything to do with the Lord. Because I guarantee you, if she had something to do with the Lord, she wouldn't have had no mindset to take her life. Because we didn't even give ourselves. Like, we belong to God. God said we are bought with a price. We don't own ourselves. We are not our own. That's what he said. He said, you are not your own. You are bought with a price. How you going to kill something that you didn't buy? God purchased you and I and us. God bought us with his precious blood, his sanctified blood. He purchased you and I and us. But you let the devil send you on that jet line to hell with Lucifer. We just have to pray, oh Lord, for her family and her daughter that she left behind. But I'm telling you, with that kind of money that woman had, with shops all over the world, she could have bought her a husband, I'm telling you. She could have bought her one. If she didn't want God to give her one, she could have bought her one. You know, just there for the taking, you know. I ain't going to let nobody, no man, go leave. If you're going to leave me, okay. All right, baby, well, you go ahead on. I love you, but hey, you know, I'll see you, bye. But I'm not finna take my life just because, you know, you finna leave me. Because he wasn't born with you. I didn't come out the same womb. So So, I mean, you can't, you know, you can do without whatever you weren't born. And then people have been born with limbs. Some people born didn't have no limbs, you see. So you have to learn to do, you know, when that person says they want out, hey, and, you know, you cannot resolve the marriage, then let that person get free. Don't make that person stay in no marriage because it's going to get worse and worse. You know, there's not going to be any love there. It's just going to be, you know, we just here for the child, you know, till the child get of age, you know, graduate from school, then we're going to, you know, then we're going to go our separate ways. See, but honey, I'm telling you, that woman, as much money she had, she could have bought her husband, but she allowed the enemy to take her out. That's what she did, the demonic spirit taking her out. But you have people, you know, like I said, that don't have faith, you know, they don't have faith. And so when you don't have faith in God, these are the things that will come upon you. Because when you don't believe in God and when you don't want God help, guess what? God will leave you alone. God is not going to drag us to heaven. God is not going to drag us anywhere. That's why he said he gave us a choice. To choose ye this day who you're going to serve. You can serve me or you can serve Lucifer. It's your choice. It's your curtain call. You know? But it's a sad, hurting thing for any individual to die and don't know God in the pardons of their iniquity. That's so sad and so hurtful, you know. So, you know, but like I said, you have these individuals that they're counterfeit reality people, you know. They say, well, honey, I don't feel like fat meat is greasy, you know. You got to show me, you know. You've got these type of people that you got to show them everything before they believe anything, you know. They got to show me, you know. But God said he's through showing any size, honey. All that he done in his day, he's still working miracles. And whether you want to believe it or not, he's still working miracles in 2018. He's still working miracles. You know, I asked God to stop the rain for me. I had a tie that was slick on the driver's side, and I had less than 30 minutes to get to my doctor's appointment. And I just imagined that God picked up my car and placed it on down further than what it was, because ain't no way in the world I could have made it. Almost a 25, 30 minute drive. I made it there probably in about 20 minutes. I'm telling you, I was going like 80, 90, 100 miles an hour sometimes. But I asked God to stop the rain. And you know what Satan said? Satan said, who you think you are? He said, God ain't going to stop no rain for you. That's what Satan told me. He said, who you think you are? God ain't going to stop no rain for you. So God let the rain start falling heavier than what it was. I said, God, I see you. I said, I know you're doing your thing. I said, but as a child of God and a woman of God, you ordained me to preach your word. I said, now preach your word and live your word every day, Monday through Sunday. I said, you said whatever I ask in your name, believe it, I shall have it. And so I kept on, you know, driving, even though, like I said, God poured down the rain even harder and my windshield wipers was on full blast and it wasn't moving that water out of my face, you know, rapidly enough. And so I had a Christian program on in my car as I was driving. And my little granddaughter was with me. She was riding in the rear seat. And she can attest this. And so, like I said, Satan told me, said, who you think you are? Just like that. Who you think you are? God ain't going to stop my rain for you, honey. Who you think you are? So I didn't say nothing to the devil. I just, you know, I was talking to God. I said, and so God started letting the rain come down harder. I said, God, I see you. I said, I know you. You know, you just being God, the God that you are. You rule this thing. You rule this world, this planet. You rule me, you know. So, hey, I can't do nothing but just let you do your thing. I said, I know you, God. I know you're doing your thing. I said, but I'm asking you as a woman of God, your child, to stop this rain so I can go about 90, 80, 90, 100 miles an hour trying to get to this doctor's appointment because I didn't want him to reschedule me. And I said, God, and so it's like I said, it started raining down harder and it was cloudy. It was raining heavy and I couldn't even see the road. Then all of a sudden, right before my eyes, just think about you going into your shower area, a bathroom area, and you pull your shower curtain back. That's the way God pulled the cloud back. It was, like I told you, it was cloudy and it was pouring down rain. Do you hear what I'm saying? So I'm going to tell you these sermon is not going to be this hypocritical request. I'm going to remove that out of the program, and it's going to be counterfeit reality. So to you unbelievers, counterfeit reality people, this is what God did. It was pouring down rain. I had less than 20 minutes to get. It would have took me 25 minutes, 30 minutes in traffic, and not even talking about trying to find a parking spot and then going on to the place and then going up to the fifth floor. So I got a lot to encounter before I even get started. But like I said, it's pouring down rain and it's cloudy. I had my radio station on, and I'm just driving. All of a sudden, God pulled back the clouds, whoo, and then pull out the sunshine. God stopped the rain, bam, and then whoo, like the shower curtain, whoo, pull them back, and then whoo, pull out the sun. God did that right there before my eyes, my human eyes. So I'm telling you, I know what God can do. God, woo, my God, he's a wheel in the middle of a wheel. I tell you, God is an awesome God. And if you try it once, I guarantee you'll like it. Hallelujah. And if you don't like it, as a songwriter said, then the devil can always take you back. But I guarantee you that if you try God one time, you'll like it. So in ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something to marinate your spirit and infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, hallelujah, if you have any prayer petition that you would want the old ship of Zion to go down in prayer on your behalf, you're most certainly encouraged in your correspondence with God House Deliverance Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. This program has been, Old Ship of Zion, has been produced by Blog Talk Radio. I want you to call in, those of you that have a petition that you would want the Old Ship of Zion to touch and agree, that God will bring your prayer petition to fruition. The lines are now open. You can call in and speak to yours truly. I'm going to give you a few minutes to do that. And then we're going to take you on over into the second phase of our program, and that is Hymns of Zion. This is to encourage your heart and uplift your spirit. So until we meet again across these airways and skyways, you're encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. You're encouraged to buckle up with Jesus at your will because he is people friendly. So until we meet again across these airways and skyways, you go in God and allow God to go in you. Up next is Hymns of Zion. Thank you.
Thank you. you feel him drawing near to you right now, come on and honor his presence. Oh, his glory is going to show up in this place if you do. Anybody want to see his glory in this place? Come on, bow down. Bow down. Bow down. Bow down before him. I'm not physically talking about bow down, but just humble. Humble your face before him.
My soul, I want to let your hope. Oh, Thank you.